Our next guest played over 767 NHL games, played over 237 in the WHA, so over 1,000 pro games, won Stanley Cups with the Montreal Canadiens and with the Edmonton Oilers. Mark Napier joins us. Mark, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. I want to get your thoughts on chemistry. You know, it's a big thing right now, the Canadian men's Olympic team, and people say that it's hard to play with Sidney Crosby. It's funny because everybody used to say, well, it's easy to play with Gretzky because you just go to the net with your stick on the ice because he sees everything. Are people overblowing the it's hard to play with Crosby, Mark, or do you see something in his game that's difficult for guys to play with?
I don't think it's that tough. You know, I've watched, unfortunately, we had a couple of charity games, so I haven't seen all the games, but I did watch the one game where they put St. Louis on his line, and boy, you know, he had about six chances to score. You know, Crosby set him up. So I just think the guys are just, you know, I think they're getting the chances to play with him. They're just not putting the biscuit in the basket, and they haven't needed to. So maybe it's a good thing. It'll hopefully start the next game.
When all-star teams like this get put together, you know, chemistry is a funny thing because all of these guys are point-of-game players for the most part, but the reality is they can't all be point-of-game players in this type of tournament. There's going to be some guys who just don't score because not everybody's going to – they're not going to score nine goals every game.
No, exactly. And you know what, I think in a tournament like this, I think guys will accept different roles. You know, you are playing for your country. It's pretty special doing that, and also to be playing for a gold medal. So, you know, there's probably guys that don't normally block too many shots that might be blocking a few shots and killing penalties that don't get much penalty kill time or whatever. But I think, you know, playing when you play an event like this and playing for your country, you'll pretty much accept any role that they give you.
Mark, you played on two different championship teams in Montreal and in Edmonton. How is your role different from Montreal to being in Edmonton?
Well, actually, the cup in Montreal, I didn't have a lot to do with. I was kind of a fourth line player, and as I got a little bit older, you know, playing in Montreal, I basically was you know, behind Guy Lafleur and mostly a scorer. I think when I came to Edmonton, goodness gracious, they certainly didn't need goals. They you know, so I became a little more of a defensive player, and you know, the first couple of months I got there, I was playing with Mess and with Anderson, and then the next year I played on a checking line with Craig McTavish and Mike Krushelinski. So my role changed dramatically when I was with the Oilers. But again, you know, just personally, I look at it, you just do whatever it takes to win, it's great to play, especially, you know, playing on those Oilers teams that even third or fourth line was pretty special.
Well, Mark Napier joined us. You mentioned you were on a checking line with McTavish in 85-86. You also had 24 goals on a checking line that year. You had played, you know, had nine goals in 33 games the year before. You look at that production, you actually produced more technically goals on that third line than you did on the second line just because there was that much talent across the board.
Possibly, plus I think Curry got hurt for four or five games that year, and I got moved up to that line. So you speak about playing with Gretz, you just get him the puck and you get an assist, or you certainly, like you say, go to the net and you'll get it back. So I think probably five or six or seven of those goals, Wayne might have had a little something to do with them.
Well, you're also a two-time 40-goal scorer and a 35-goal scorer in Montreal, so I think maybe you're downplaying a little bit of your offensive abilities. Regardless of who you play with, skill needs to play with skill. I don't know many guys who can make guys without skill suddenly become 40-goal scorers.
Well, thank you. No, it's certainly, I think that would probably be the hardest thing to teach is you know, like a true sniper. It's you know, you can go to the net, you can go, you know, be told to, you know, work on deflections, all that good stuff. But, you know, there comes a time where you're going to have the puck in the slot, and just some guys have the knack of putting it in and knowing, you know, what the goalie's going to do or see the spot and hit it, and others have a lot of trouble that way. So I was very fortunate. I always had a bit of a touch around the net, and you know, I never took a lot of shots, but they just seemed to go in for me, so I was very fortunate.
Mark Napier joins us. Mark, as an 18-year-old, you went from the Marlboros in Toronto right to the WHA playing with the Toronto Toros and had 93 points in 78 games, and then you played 2 years in Birmingham. Talk about the WHA. Obviously, it wasn't as good as the NHL, I don't think, but can you compare the two? How close was it?
Well, it was actually, for me, it was a great move. We'd won the Memorial Cup the year that I left and turned pro, and I could have played junior for a couple of years, but it might have been a wasted couple of years for me. And the WHA at the time was not as good as the NHL, but after my third year there, it certainly, there was a couple of teams that I know could have competed. The Winnipeg Jets certainly come to mind with Bobby Hull and Hedberg and Nielsen, and the Quebec Nordiques had a pretty good team back then, as well as the Hartford Whalers. So when they won the Stanley Cup, I there's no chance unless a miracle happened. But I think they could have, been middle of the pack. They're probably better at the time than the Cleveland Barons, that's for sure.
Mark Napier joins us. Mark, when you played in Edmonton, I got a text message from Scott talking about when you changed your number to 65 when you were working with cystic fibrosis and the kids pronounced it 65 roses. You're in town and we're going to talk a little bit about the Alzheimer's. Just talk about, why you were always a guy who elected to help out with the charitable stuff, because not all players do.
Well, actually, in Edmonton, every player had to have a charity. So,
okay.
When I got there, I wore number 18. We won the Stanley Cup with 18. Then the next year, Danny Gare made the team, and he'd worn 18 his whole career. And out of respect, I offered Danny my number. He never gave me a watch or any money for it. But and so I was searching for a number. I didn't have a real attachment to 18. And I think it was Bill Twilley. The media guy there at the time. He just said, "Hey, you're with cystic fibrosis. That's they call it 65 roses. Why don't you wear 65? And at the time, there wasn't a lot of high numbers. Brett's had the high number, but there weren't too many other high numbers out there. And so it just kind of clicked, and 65 made sense. And with the charity, it helped promote the charity a little bit. So I continued wearing 65 the rest of my career.
You're one of the main guys involved with the Alzheimer's Face-Off Tournament market. It comes this year in April on the weekend of the 11th. And the 12th, they've had it in Edmonton the last few years. I know the local guys, Greg Christensen and Christensen Developments, they're a huge part of that as well. For guys who maybe are on the fence about signing up, what do they get out of that weekend? Maybe give them a little bit of a teaser on what they can expect, lacing it up with a lot of ex-former NHLers.
Sure. First, I'd like to give a shout-out to Greg Christensen. He does such a great job. He's been the chairman since the tournament started and just does a fabulous job with it. But, it's a tournament like no other. It's you get drafted by a team and you spend the rest of that night having a couple of soda pops with them and then tell them a few lies, getting to know them. And then you play three games with them. And, so you go to the dressing room, you become part of the team, you get dressed, you play the game with them. And then you go up and have a few more beers and some chicken wings with them. And so you're with them quite a bit. And actually by day two, it's actually kind of neat. You really become part of the team. There's golf tournaments where you spend maybe 3 or 4 hours with the people or maybe some hockey tournaments where you might play a game or something. But this is pretty unique. And so I really enjoyed it. It's kind of nice getting to know the guys and being with them for that long. And, we make sure we try and get some pretty good names to come out and play. And I think we've done that again this year. And then the lineup seems to get stronger and stronger every year.
Well, you have a name that a lot of people in Edmonton, you played with him, arguably maybe the greatest skater of his time, one of the best skaters in the history of the NHL, Paul Coffey. Can he still fly up the ice like he used to?
He's still scary. He still ticks me off. It used to tick me off when we had to do stops and starts for an hour, and he never broke a sweat, and he's still in fabulous shape, and can still skate. I always swore if he ever put speed skates on, he could win a gold for Canada, but I guess we'll never know. But it'll be great to see Paul, and Marty McSorley's coming, which would be great. Curtis Joseph would be pretty cool, and for the luncheon, a guy named W. Gretzky's coming. Unfortunately, it's not Wayne, but it's his dad, Walter, which is pretty cool.
And also, I think you've got, Mahovlich and Alex Delvecchio?
Yep, they're all coming to the luncheon. Obviously, yeah. they don't play anymore. But, yeah. And Gary Unger's coming back to the luncheon, which will be pretty cool. But, you know, the ones that will be up for draft and will be playing, will, like I say, Kopp and Marty and Russ Courtnell's coming in, Brian Trottier, Brad May. So pretty good lineup. But, you know, some locals with Rob and Sean Brown and Nathan Dempsey, you know, Chris Joseph, Jason Strudwick, which is pretty cool. He can tell you a few figure skating stories, I'm sure. And Fernando Pisani's playing. So, yeah, so just that's just a few of them. And, you know, they've done a great job. I think they've signed up 23 or 24 teams already. And you know, hopefully they can sign up some more and raise some really good money for a great cause.
What are the odds McSorley goes first overall for the third year in a row?
I don't think so. I think, especially if it's the same team, Marty's pretty good. He'll tell the team, don't draft me because you were with me last year. You know, get somebody else and I'll come and visit and maybe play again. Like Marty plays about 7 or 8 games in these tournaments, and you know, with 2 hips, you could barely walk by the end of it. But I know he's done that in the past. He's done that certainly in Toronto. You know, told teams to draft someone else, and he'll come and see them. So I would say not very good. If it is a brand new team, certainly, you know, I would advise them that Marty's certainly never a bad pick.
That noise. We had Roenick on our team last year. He was a beauty.
Okay, how are you?
Yeah. We had a lot of fun with him out until the wee hours on Friday night.
So. I can imagine. Yeah. JR, he's on the West Coast time, so I'm sure he's still pretty early for him.
Yeah, no, it was very good. Mark Napier joins us. Mark, for the teams that are listening, how are your playing skills? Because I know a lot of guys, like, hey, if we're drafting a guy, we want him to be a little bit of a ringer, almost like a guarantee 4 or 5 points a night. Are you ready for that?
Well, we talked about scoring earlier. I'm more of a disher now. I would rather see the guys on my team score. So I like to play center, and I like to do the Gretzky thing. I like to dish it and let the other guys have some fun.
Well, hey, that's still 5 points if you're setting it up on a platter.
Well, you know, it depends who you're playing with. Sometimes you can feed them with 3 empty nets and they miss all 3 times. You don't get those points, but we do have fun doing that. I'm still in half decent shape. I can still, I can, instead of a 30 or 40 second burst, I'm about 10 or 15 second burst. So.
Mark Napier joins us. I want to go back to when you came from Minnesota to Edmonton and you got put on that line with Messier and Anderson. And obviously you'd seen what they'd done. They're a pretty dynamic duo. They'd won the Stanley Cup the year before. When you come in and you get put in with guys, how do you ensure you fit in, and how do you ensure that you don't respect your teammates too much where you stop, you know, shooting and playing your own game?
Actually, that's a really, really good question, because you know, obviously it is pretty intimidating. I was lucky I wasn't a snotty-nosed 21 or 22-year-old, because I don't know how I would have reacted, you know. Similar when I walked in the Montreal dressing room for the first time, and there's Guy Lafleur and Yvonne Cornway and guys like that. But I think I was a little bit older, so it was a little bit easier to handle it. You know, I thought I was pretty fast until I played with those two guys and found out I wasn't the speedster I thought I was. But, you know, Mess was so great. Basically, if you started trying to dish it too much or weren't taking the shot or trying to feed him or Andy too much, you know, he'd come up and say, hey, Nate, just start shooting the puck, and then, you know, we'll go to the net for the rebounds or whatever. So, you know, for Mess, it was all about winning, and it wasn't about anything, any personal goals. So, you know, he was such a great team player and great leader that had a lot of respect for him, but also like I say, if you were overpassing it, he definitely let you know.
There are so many stories about Messier's leadership, Mark. He was a guy who welcomed everybody in the room, but he was also a very intense SOB and very hard to play against. I'm sure maybe easier to play with than it was play against. What was your favorite Messier kind of awe moment when you became a teammate of his?
Boy, there's so many. I used to just marvel at his, like, in the dressing room, how he could, for practice, he'd be a joker and having a lot of fun, and then come game time, just be able to totally turn it 180 degrees and just be so focused and so intense and just hate it to lose and just everything in him just flipped. And You know, it taught me a lot, and I think that's why it was such a great playoff team. You know, it wasn't just Mess could do that. You know, Gretz could do it. Gretz used to have a lot of fun in practice, but come game time, it was time to bear down. And these guys really knew how to do that. And I think that's why, you know, the goals against average during the season was a little bit higher, probably by a goal or a goal and a half, than it was in the playoffs. They knew what it took to win and how to bear down and do that. So I can't remember any specific player or anything that he did, because he did everything so well. But I think just I totally admired that character in him and how to you know turn it on come game time and turn it off come practice time.
Mark, when will you be in town for the Alzheimer's Face-Off tournament?
I'm going to come in on the Thursday. What's that? The 10th.
Yep.
And I'll be at the luncheon for sure, which is always a lot of fun, and then be sticking around until the morning of the 14th, where I'll be flying back to Toronto. So I'm looking forward to coming back to Edmonton. It's been a year since I've been back there.
Well, Mark, we look forward to seeing you again. We appreciate your time.
My pleasure.